This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics. And we come to the moment of the meeting of the Federal Reserve, the announcement in 24 hours about the interest rates for best customers of the Federal Reserve. The debate on Wall Street seems to be full point, three-quarters of a point. Three-quarters of a point is now known as a jumbo hike. However, I go to Dr. Doom of the housing crisis of 2008, and his remark, Nouriel Roubini's remark, is that we are at the beginning of a deep recession, deep, long, and ugly is the quote, and that the Federal Reserve will need a very hard landing to stop the inflation story. He makes predictions of the market going 40%, down 40%, who knows, but the point that I take is a long recession extending through 2023, no matter what the Federal Reserve says. Now, that's the bear's bear case. I go for it. I'm fine. You need to get that on the table before we can discuss what is to be done. Joe, I note that the Federal Reserve, in tightening these last months, has crashed the euro and the pound and the Swiss dollar and the yen, all crashed in comparison to the dollar power. So does that suggest that the other central bankers are going to get involved and defend their currency? Is the ECB going to get involved? Say, speculate that the Federal Reserve stays with 0.75 tomorrow, maybe the same in November or 0.5, maybe the same in December or 0.5. Does the ECB have an answer ready?
No, they don't. And that is a big part of the problem, because I think that the answer would be for the Fed to join the other central banks of major economies and come up with some kind of mechanism for trying to stabilize some of these exchange rates, as we did several times over in the 1980s with the Plaza and then the Louvre Accord, to try to stabilize the dollar through a period of monetary tightening and normalization under Paul Volcker. That kind of coordination is conspicuously absent these days, and it's not something that the other central banks can do amongst themselves without including the Fed. But the longer that we go on without something like that happening, the more dangerous the situation becomes, because, in a very short-term sense, the dollar's strength probably is helping the Fed fight inflation, because it means that we have to pay fewer dollars for the things that we import from overseas. And since we so often run a trade deficit where we import more than we export, that is to our benefit, especially when it comes to global energy prices. So that's the good news here. But the problem is that weak currencies everywhere else mean that the Eurozone, the UK, Japan, even potentially China a bit now, increasingly find themselves importing more inflation, which destabilizes their own economies. I mean, remember, one of the reasons that the pound sank to a 37-year low last week was news that retail spending in the United Kingdom is continuing to decline. So the economy here is very soft, and there's a danger that that's entering into the self-reinforcing cycle with the declining value of the pound. That's not good for the U.S., because these places are our trading partners. American companies have substantial investments in these parts of the world. We aspire to sell to these consumers. So we benefit from investment into our country from our partners in these other places. So it's not going to help anyone if an excessively strong dollar ends up creating a crisis in these other economies. And yet I think that that is increasingly a danger that we need to think about.
Much mentioned these days in articles about what will Jerome Powell do is Mr. Volcker, of the Federal Reserve chair between Carter's one term and Reagan's first term, that period of time. Paul Volcker raised interest rates sharply. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but as I recall, you could get a savings and loan interest rate in those days of 13%. So you knew that inflation was very, very out of control. The expectation now is that by mentioning Mr. Volcker, that tells us that Jerome Powell will stay the course and continue to raise rates to 4.5%, perhaps by the end of the year. Do you believe it, Joe? Is that convincing that the Federal Reserve will stay the course?
Well, I think that, Chair Powell and the Federal Reserve are quite likely to get up around the 4% range, and people seem to expect that that's going to be what is now called the terminal rate, which is sort of the highest level of the short-term interest rate before the Fed stops increasing any further. Here's the problem. The reason that Paul Volcker had to raise the short-term interest rates into the 20% range in the early 1980s was that inflation was so high at that point that you needed that high of a nominal rate so that your real inflation-adjusted interest rate would be positive. So there was this understanding that you had to have a positive real interest rate if you had any hope of fighting inflation. Well, if we've got inflation in the 8% range right now, and the Fed is going to stop raising rates once it's gotten to about the 4% range, the real interest rate is still negative at that point. So you would be running a very accommodative monetary policy. It would just be somewhat less accommodating than it was when real rates were even more deeply negative. And this is the switch that seems not yet to have flipped in the Fed. They don't yet seem to recognize that they are going to have to probably achieve a positive inflation-adjusted interest rate. And I think that there isn't necessarily a willingness to admit how high the nominal rate is probably going to have to get if they're going to achieve that.
The headlines in the Bloomberg point to pain, more pain. They like to use that word pain, Joe. I'd like a translation someday about what it means when the Fed says pain. I'm guessing it means unemployment, because the headline reads like this: Fed set to reveal pain, in quotes, coming in next stage of inflation fight. FOMC unemployment forecast will probably be revised higher. Rates expected to be hiked 75 BPS. We've talked about that. Now, is the unemployment number something the Fed is watching? Do they want to see unemployment to show that they're having an effect?
Yes, and this is a big, big part of the conceptual problem that the Fed has right now, and potentially why the fight against inflation is proving so difficult for them. So they are stuck in this mindset. The interest rate decisions that they make directly affect employment in the economy, and the level of employment is a good measure of inflationary pressure. I mean, there's sort of sometimes an argument about the precise mechanism, but the basic theory is that if you have higher unemployment, there will be less inflationary pressure in the economy. So the Fed now kind of thinks that this is what they are aiming at, although they don't always say it quite so directly. Now, here is the problem. You can end up with the Fed policies that we have causing higher unemployment, but the mechanism instead could be if the Fed ends up popping asset price bubbles, particularly things like stock price bubbles or commercial debt bubbles or commercial real estate bubbles, if any of those start popping, that can have pretty substantial implications for the Main Street economy in pretty short order. I mean, this is what we discovered when financial distress and some hedge funds that were investing in mortgage-backed securities spiraled out of control into a financial panic and a recession. And so I think that that is the great danger here. The Fed thinks that it is trying to influence employment or unemployment on purpose. I think they might be underestimating the extent to which they will end up affecting those factors by accident much more severely than they intended.
I want to read a quote from two economists observing all this and make certain that I understand you saying the same thing. The overarching theme of the forecast will be prepare for higher unemployment, as it will take more rate hikes and a longer period of restrictive rates before inflation comes under control. Current market pricing for the terminal Fed funds rate is at 4.4%, and policymakers likely will see that as fairly priced. I think that's what you just told me, but in there is the predicate for a political fight, isn't there, Joe? Because no one on Capitol Hill, no one in the White House wants to see higher unemployment and a terminal Fed rate above 4%. We already have let's put it this way, there's 35% more inventory in Tulsa, Oklahoma real estate market than there was a year ago, and that's one of the hottest markets in the country.
Well, here's the dilemma that I think is lurking behind some of those numbers that you just read out. So the market is expecting a terminal rate of about 4.4% for the short term interest rate. That is still a negative real rate, which implies that that would actually be a pretty accommodative monetary policy given the level of inflation that we have. Now, the problem is that that could be a high enough rate to prick some of these asset price bubbles and create the unemployment, but not fix the inflation. So that creates the risk of a stagflation environment where you end up having the negative consequences for the job market and slowing economic growth in general, but you haven't done anything yet to solve the inflation problem, and we end up getting all of it together.
Therefore, stagflation is now, we're no longer frightened of the word recession. I see it so commonplacely, not only here in the U.S., but in London, I see it in Europe, commonplace. Everybody goes, yeah, fine. What else you've got? Now the fear is stagflation. Has that started already, or are we talking about the prospect of 23?
I think that you can see a lot of troubling signs. I mean, if you look at some of the forecasts for the trajectory of GDP growth over the rest of the year, it is not looking particularly strong. And especially if you compare it to the non-growth that we had in the earlier part of this year, you come out very weak for the year. You're seeing a lot of anecdotal evidence starting to pop up in the media of a softening job market with big companies contemplating layoffs. Anecdotally, you hear that some companies are becoming resistant to the idea of making multi-year wage offers to employees because they aren't sure exactly what shape the economy is going to take over the next year or two. So I think that there are a lot of warning signs that we're headed into an inflationary environment. And I think that although the temptation will be great and the political pressure will be even greater, and it also doesn't bring me any particular joy to say this, if you believe that the recession is going to happen, I think that the Fed, ideally, instead of trying to fight the recession that they might not be able to stop, should at least focus on continuing to fight the inflation that they might be able to control. Because we can cope with the inflation or the recession, I would just as soon not to have to do both at the same time.
And the White House, the response from the White House will be political, as it should be. It's a political office. Asking the Fed to slow down, to moderate its hikes in order to stabilize the employment markets? Would that be a reasonable debate between the president and the Federal Reserve?
Well, I think more of the political pressure is likely to come from Capitol Hill, where you're going to have prominent figures like Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, who already have demonstrated that they're very skeptical of the Fed's sort of concept for how the Fed affects the economy and what it should be doing right now. And you will hear a growing clamor from Congress for Powell to moderate the inflation fight as unemployment starts to rise. I mean, whether that comes from the White House is an interesting political question, because Biden might conclude he benefits from having Powell as a foil, especially to distract people from the Biden administration's own terrible lack of pro-growth policies.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's in London, and we're going to life in London during the extraordinary, unprecedented, and once in my lifetime, I presume, of the last days of a monarch celebrated by her people. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.